Hello and welcome to Fat Chat, the podcast that always has snacks in its desk.
Hey!
And this week we are going to be talking about being fat at work.
Hi, I'm Rifki from Slink Magazine, and you can often find me in the work kitchen.
I'm Hayley from Curves and Curls, and where I work every day is dressed on Friday.
And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, am I right? And I'm George from Fuller Figure, Fuller Bust, and it's really lucky that I don't work in an office. The photocopier would never take it. And we would love for you to join us over on Patreon if you haven't already and be part of our special Squishterhood. Support the pod and get loads of fab extra content. So head to the link for our Patreon, it's in the episode notes, or you can just go onto Patreon and search Fat Chat, and there we are. And don't forget to follow us on social media, we are at Fat Chat Pod on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook.
So guys, I'm assuming like me, you also had those early teenage jobs. I want to know, what did you do to make that dollar when you were younger?
I cannot wait to tell you this. My very first job was at somewhere called the New York Sausage Factory.
Of course, yes. It was. Why am I not surprised?
I just like have a picture in my head of that meme where all the sausages are being thrown at that girl's face.
Was that you every day?
I can assure you it was not. The uniform was not attractive. And the smell of sausage, not so hot.
Fair enough. I like it.
Yeah, that was the beginning of a very long and illustrious career in food services. Later on, waitressing, like more in like pubs and pubs with restaurants sort of thing. And some stints in retail. I worked in Selfridges, which was really cool. A lot of sort of service industry stuff, I think, as is really common in the beginning, right? Like we've all done a bit of waitressing.
Oh, yeah.
In my hometown, the only options really, when you turned 15, I think I was 15 when I got my first job, a waitressing job was pretty much, that's all who would take you, because, you know, they needed you just for the weekends only, and they knew that you were young child basically, and that's the only job that would trust you. So yeah, my first job ever was also a waitressing job.
I was always so jealous because my two best friends in high school, they worked in the local video store, and I was like,
that is the best.
Yeah, it was the best job ever. They'd sit there, they'd put whatever movies they wanted on, they could take whatever movies they wanted, and they just sat around all day while I stood in the blistering sun working in a beer garden. Bullshit.
You were there with your sausages.
How about you, Riv? What were those early jobs?
I mean, again, like the both of you, I also did waitressing. I actually got my waitressing job as a work experience job. So in year 10, so that's like about
14, 15.
We could apply to get, like, we would do 2 weeks work experience. I think it was 2 weeks. And most of my friends went off to, like, corporate offices or their parents' businesses, and they got checked up on by teachers. But I basically went and worked in a local restaurant for 2 weeks, and I worked from 6 till 10. And I had free time the rest of the time because it was just work experience. So I was like, free
day. Oh, it was good 6 till 10. I thought it was like 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. I was like, child labor.
No, it was literally 6 p.m. till 10 p.m. So I dossed around in the day, went to the restaurant for 4 hours. No teacher ever came and checked up on me because it was after hours. And I had the best time. And I actually ended up staying and working in the restaurant all the way through university when I first graduated as well. I think I stayed there for a long time. I was there for like 7 years, maybe. One of my favourite jobs, like making money, getting tips, Saturday night. It was on my high street as well. So all my friends would be out hanging around on the high street, and I was earning not even huge amounts, but as a teenager, it was like enough for a DKNY handbag. So it was great.
Oh, wow. I often like look back with such, I don't know, I miss those waitressing days.
So much.
Like, they were social and funny. It is stressful when you've got like 10 tables and
hangry. The
kitchen is like, yeah, overwhelmed. Like, it's super stressful. But then at the end of the day, all the stress melts away and you just you know, you guys head out for drinks or something. And I don't know, that's like the best kind of stress, because it's like, wow, this is so intense. And then, I mean, I'm sure people who work in that now will be like, you are kidding. You are remembering this in a much nicer way than it is.
Yeah.
But I think also because you're so young as well, it's just fun.
Oh, it was so great.
I miss it because, true to form, I worked in like a greasy spoon cafe and they let me eat and drink whatever I wanted. So I was having marshmallow whipped cream hot chocolates when I first got there, a fry up, toasties. She let me take home cakes and iced tea. Like, they honestly treated me so well there. They were, well, because I'm fat, so you know. But you know, I literally loved it. They taught me like stuff in the kitchen. They taught me how to make teas and coffees. I learned so much there. I ate so much there. I had such a good time. I came home smelling of chip fat. My mum would make me get changed in the garage so that I didn't bring anything into the house.
Amazing.
But apart from that, I would come home with Eccles cakes and iced teas and a belly full of fry up, and it was so good.
I mean, we all have such good memories, but I think sometimes part of the reason it's so fun is that it's like when those jobs are shitty, when you have crappy management or a horrible manager in the restaurant or something, you get like trauma bonded with the people who you
so
work
much.
With. And they are literally the only ones who can actually understand what you've gone through that day. And then usually like the way you socialize with them is just by getting like snot flying drunk. So, you know, it makes for really strong relationships, I think, at the time.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, I've done 12 years on and off of waitressing, pubs, bars, clubs, restaurants, hotels, and it is, you hate people in the shift, you're screaming at the chefs because you're the middleman between the chef and the customer. The chefs are annoyed because the customers wanted some weird request. The customer's annoyed because the food's late or whatever, or something's been sent out wrong. You're knocking over chairs with your ass when you're fat,
trying to slip through.
I mean, the whole thing, I look back and I'm like, that was so stressful. Like, trying to like get my fat ass through, a chef screaming at me, a customer's annoyed with me, the chairs are falling over.
I always, always overestimated how nimble I was and how small my ass was, like trying to get in between chairs when it was busy and there were kids everywhere. And I was like, I can do this. Like, I can get through that space. And you're kind of halfway and then you're stuck between two customers and you're like,
plates in your hands.
I can't do this. Oh, crap.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like that, you really manage to like nail that thing where you just go on your tippy toes so you can lift your ass and your belly over the back of the chairs and like slide through. I think that's possibly the most used maneuver by fat waitresses the world over.
You never feel so much as when you've got three plates branding themselves onto your hands and your arm trying to get through somewhere. You hear the chairs being knocked, you're like, I don't care, I just need to put these plates down, that person is hungry, I'll pick it up on the way back. You just feel so exposed.
Probably
because I was, to get the tips.
Yeah, I've definitely like knocked over drinks with my boobs or like found that like you're carrying plates of foobs.
you are carrying plates of food
and because your boobs stick out, when you get to the table and put it down, you realize that like there's just a little bit of cheese sauce on your tit or something like that.
And also it's underneath, so you can't actually
you don't
see
know
it.
Yeah.
That's the worst. When you dip, I dipped it into like the top of a cappuccino once.
No.
Like, I had to like remake the coffee because you just don't.
And then you just have like a little like cappuccino nipple ring situation. Strong.
Basically. Nipple ring.
Again, let's you know, this, we can save some of this for our Only Flabs, which will be our amazing paid sexy subscription service where George dips her nipples into cappuccinos and Hayley
knocks chairs over with my ass.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm seeing the video and, content now. It's so strong.
It's intense. It's niche, but it's strong. Oh my God. Take a moment for some of the hideous uniforms you have to wear when in the service industry. I was so grateful when I started working at Selfridges because the dress code was pretty much wear black, which I was totally in that fat girl phase of like, black is the best thing that I can possibly wear. I actually felt quite cute. But some of the high neck t-shirts, mate.
not only that, for me, why so many jobs did I have to wear a full-on shirt, tie, waistcoat? Or the worst one, I used to work in the Sofitel Hotel. You wore one of these shirts. It didn't have like a proper collar, which I actually think was worse. It was just one of those tiny stick-up collars at the top and the button all the way. And then you had obviously the shirt all the way down. You couldn't ever roll it up. So you're just this expanse of like white tit in a shirt.
Just one boob.
Big enough. Yeah. And then I often in like jobs would wear my apron really high around my waist to try and really get a waist. But at Sofitel, you were not allowed. It very much had to be like on the hips. So then it was just that. And then like they're just the ugly trousers. They couldn't be too fitted. Nothing could be too clinky. Like the dress code was obviously, it was a 4 or 5 star hotel. Lord knows how I got a job there. But obviously everything had to be, you know, smart. Even like the hair and makeup, everything had to be very scraped back, very minimal.
Do you know,
horrible.
At one point there was a new restaurant that was opening on my high street and it looked really nice and I was like, oh, you know, I've been at this place for a while, let me go see if I can get a job and if the pay's better up the road. And I'm pretty sure they offered me a job, but it was a white shirt, black trouser situation. And purely based on that alone, I was just like, no, I don't want to work here.
Based on that.
In my first job, I got to wear whatever I wanted. I never had to wear a uniform. And I literally wore
you lucky
whatever.
Bitch.
I got away with so much there, though. It was because everyone was about 20-something years older than me. And I was the only girl in the whole place. So I just kind of pottered along.
Ooh, that sounds great.
It's good times.
Really nice. I worked in a, it's quite funny, there's this pub back home, it's had several different names, but like me, my brother, both of my cousins, we would laugh that we were like the family business because we all worked there at some point. But during one of its iterations, they decided that it was time to get these like cute little waitressing dresses for all the waitresses. Obviously the guys still got to wear a golf shirt and trousers, but the girls got these little dresses.
Did you say a gold shirt?
Golf shirt.
Oh, I thought you said a gold shirt and I was like, wow, this place is jazzy. I'm disappointed now.
So this dress was like one of those little shirt dresses, like little button-up ones, but it was in a stretch fabric. But they had just ordered in like smalls, mediums and larges. And when I started,
you're all three.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, put together.
So when I started, they were like, oh, here's a large. And this is the thing. People can be like, you're plus, but they don't realize like what that means. Also, bearing in mind at the time I was like a 14, so the smallest I've ever been, I got that large and I remember taking it home. But you know how, you know, you can look at something and be like, that's not going to fit. They gave it to me and I held it up and I was like, And I think they were like, this is the first time we've ever had to like hand out a large, so it's got to fit her. And I went home to my mom and I was like, well, not going to be able to work there. Or I was like, or I'll be the only girl in trousers and a t-shirt, which just didn't feel great. And my mum was like, it's fine. We took it to the local seamstress and she sewed in a panel. So she took the dress apart, sewed in a panel either side, down the sleeves and all the way down. I looked so fucking cute. It was such a cute outfit. It came with a little apron.
And no one knew, right?
Nobody knew because we found like a really similar fabric. And like, to be honest, by now I would own it. Anybody who asked me, I would tell them that story if I was waitressing there now. But then it was quite an embarrassing thing for me. But the fact that I could just make it my own really, really helped. That I was like, I look like everybody else. Sure, I'm like the biggest waitress here. I got a killer pair of legs. It was a really short skirt and it fitted really nicely. So
someone's always going to be the biggest one.
Exactly.
And I think that's the thing as well, isn't it? Even if it feels embarrassing and like, and yes, they should have been able to say to you, oh, we can get a different size. Sometimes it's not always possible. And for, you know, for a fix, because you're going to be spending so much time in your uniform, if you need to tweak it, because I think in the long run you're going to feel more comfortable because you're going to be able to match everybody else. And you know, sometimes we do have to, I suppose, take responsibility until the world catches up, that you can make things work for yourself rather than just feel like, oh, okay, fine, I just won't be able to wear the uniform.
Totally. And if they had the right size, it might have been bigger in the wrong areas or something like that. So even if you can get your size, I sometimes think, George, with that shirt, if you'd been able to like sew a couple of darts into it or something, it might have fitted you better. So sometimes even you may be able to get it on your body, but like this goes for anyone of any size. If you're spending a lot of time in an outfit and you can possibly like justify it, it, have it changed?
And we would love to hear from you guys. Love to see any pictures of you guys in your old outfits. Maybe you had waitressing jobs. Maybe you had other jobs. Why not head on over to our Fat Chat community on Facebook, which is a private group. It is heavily guarded by admins. So like, it's a very, very safe space. You just search Fat Chat community and come and join us. Share. We want to see. So I'm sad to say that it is statistically proven that when it comes to people getting jobs, there is still fat phobia in those higher ranks. That people who are doing the interviewing are less likely to potentially employ a plus size person over a slimmer person. It's still so ingrained in the horrible assumptions that they make, the assumptions of like laziness and things like that. And although it's not something that the three of us feel like we have experienced, we very much accept that it is other people's experiences. And of course, there's a vicious cycle there where it can knock on and be a knock on effect to people. When you do get that blow that you haven't got a job, your confidence is then low. You go in with that lower confidence, and then maybe that's why you're not then securing those jobs down the line. And it's kind of awful to think about that something as changeable as body size could give someone such an impression when you could be incredibly skilled for the job, you know, office jobs and things like that. Have you guys found that it's a place where you feel that's impacted, or have you found that diet culture's rife? I haven't really had many office jobs, so maybe I'm not as up on like speaking about it.
For me, I couldn't knowingly say that I haven't gotten a job because of what I look like. But the point is that no one, or very rarely, are people going to be like, we haven't employed you because you're too fat.
They might not even know that, do you know? That might be such a subconscious decision that they've made because of prejudices that they have.
Completely. And it's just, I think it's not something we're going to deep dive into today, but it's definitely something we wanted to mention because it is the reality for a lot of plus size people. And it's a good reminder to check our own prejudices in many different areas, the fact that this could still have an impact. But definitely for me, working in an office, it's one of the hardest places to avoid diet culture. I don't know about you, Riv, but for me, it's a minefield.
Yeah, I mean, obviously working in fashion, I wouldn't say it's as bad as people think. It's definitely not Devil Wears Prada. There's, you know, none of that scene where someone's like, oh, you shouldn't be eating that. But I do think it is that thing of like new clothes coming in, new seasons starting, holidays, holiday wardrobe. And it's so ingrained in the media that I think even though, you know, most people I know don't write in that kind of, oh, summer's coming, bikini body ready. Like I really, you know, we don't write like that anymore. I think that kind of idea and that diet culture idea is very much in that culture. And also, you know, you work with a lot of women, and so therefore in those kind of offices where they're very female dominant, that diet culture talk is very heavy.
I think it's something that people don't realise that they're doing either. It's something I've been talking about on my social medias a little bit recently. Like, we don't realise sometimes as women that we just do make those little things like, I'm just trying to be good today. Yeah. I'm just trying to have that today. Oh, you're watching what you're eating. Oh, I feel so bad. I've had this chocolate bar. And it's just knee-jerk language. And like you actually, Ruki, saying that working in fashion, you haven't found it that diet culture, which I think is amazing. I found the opposite experience with hospitality. I just found everyone was just obsessed with asking people about their diet, trying to eat less, bringing in like little snack things. Often where I worked, dinner would be like a buffet, kind of like hot and cold food style. You just go up and help yourself, and like people were just like, a little bit of this, no salad dressing on that, scraping cheese sauce off like bits of pasta and stuff.
Oh,
like
Christ.
Asking people about their diets. It was just so ingrained into it all. And then after work, everyone would sit together and have like loads of alcohol and or go down the pub. It's just such a weird mixture, isn't it?
Completely. I mean, so I worked for quite a long time in the Department of Health. And because I was in a comms team, firstly, it was mainly women because communications tends to be. And also communications jobs often means really long hours, quite antisocial hours. So you've got people on like out of hours work doing press stuff and whatever. There was always a lot of, it was a big snacking culture. We had these things, we referred to them as the bird tables. And basically every office pod would have a selection of food that was brought in by everybody. You know, if you passed a bakery, you'd grab some donuts. If you came back from holiday, you'd bring something. But there was always some junk food available somewhere. And it was like a free-for-all situation. And yet it was Yeah, but at the same time, talking. I sat next to one at one point.
I'm to not, the bird table.
Yeah, like
you're living the bird table's dream right now. Look at her. Look at her face.
So happy.
The thing is, it wasn't that dreamy because what would happen is people would come and stand there and eat and complain about the fact that they were eating the whole way through. So great. They'd be like, oh, I really shouldn't be having this. Oh my God, this is the fourth time I've come back today. Oh, I can't. And then somebody else would come over and they'd be like, well, I'm being good and this is what. And it was just like prompted all these food discussions while they stood in front of fucking high calorie food.
You should have snatched it away, like, and said, fine, don't have it. It's mine, bitch.
Well, you know how salty I am. So I'd be like, fucking step away. Fat girl will eat it. Like, also, my boss is diabetic. So I had to spend half my life safeguarding him from the table, being like, you know what's going to happen if you have that. You're going to have to go in the fucking office and shoot up if you're not careful. Like, it was just chaos. And that was the really confusing thing. And then other jobs that I've had, you'll also have like people are so obsessed with food, but they'll spend the whole day talking about it. The whole conversation is around food. And I'm like, how does this make it any easier? It's fucking crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Like the obsessions of food. Also the fact that we were like in the Department of Health and would sometimes be talking about things like the obesity strategy, and I'm just sitting there, you know, obesing at the end of the table, feeling like there's a gigantic red flashing light above me being like, she's the problem. It was honestly, in many ways, it was such an incredible place to work. I worked with some of the most interesting, intelligent, great people, but there were some very fucking surreal moments.
Yeah. I mean, we also have a grazing table. You'd actually be amazed at the number of food things that get sent to fashion and beauty offices.
George
now wants an office job. She wants an office job.
But also, she looks so upset. Meanwhile, she's got a fucking grazing table. It's her kitchen.
Oh, honey, I have a grazing table. It's just the idea that it might be free. That's what's getting to me.
But yeah, it is very much the kind of, oh, I'm being good. Oh, I shouldn't. Oh, you're really good for having a salad today.
Ugh.
As if you're evil for eating chocolate. I am the worst person in the world, if that's the case.
I mean, chocolate or no chocolate, that still stands.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the funny thing is that everyone goes on about, like, you know, being good and like, oh, I need to do X, Y, and Z before the holidays. But like, I've never been able to fit into a single fashion sample that comes into a fashion cupboard. And so, you know, if we're doing, you know, like we've done kind of like features where we've had to put the clothes on, and most people can just go into the cupboard and try things on and have a really big play with things that are there. Or they might go out and get a few extra things from the high street, but then be like, oh, no, actually, I just saw this thing in the cupboard. I'll use that, or that will go nicely with it. I had to be super calculating and be like, right, I've got to go out and get everything in my size already.
Yeah. In some cases, you may not be able to get them in the stores on the high street. Speaking to you, New Look. You know what I mean? But like, they cater for your size, but just not in store. It's crazy. And I think people don't realize when they don't have to think about it. But obviously for you, it's like, I have to think about this ahead of time. I can't just rely on there being something in my size.
Yeah, completely.
Mm-hmm. Also, it must feel like it leaves you a little bit out of that bonding experience of like trying on those dresses together, or like everybody wanting the same one, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've got so used to it over the years that it bothers me slightly less. But I think definitely when I first started and there was that thing of like everyone getting super excited and trying stuff on, and then there'd just be me being like, oh, I'm just going to carry on at my desk and do some work because this isn't fun. It's not fun for me watching everyone else dress up.
Amen. I think there is a reason that we get so many messages on the Fat Chat community about what it's like being plus in the office. This has been one of our most requested topics. I think sometimes the powers that be, they put in thoughtless weight loss challenges to try and like deal with people's well-being without thinking about like how triggering that might be for somebody who's struggling with being plus size or who has an eating disorder. We so often have people be like, everybody's talking about this in the office, or everyone's decided to do some sort of slimming world challenge. I mean, one of our girls who is on the Fat Chat community group, shout out to Lauren, a very good friend of the pod, she actually challenged HR about this. There was posters Amazing. Going up all around her office about dieting, and she challenged them and said, this is damaging what you're doing. It's not okay. This shouldn't be something that's happening in the office space. And I'm just so proud of her. Like, it's not for everybody. Not everyone might feel that empowered or might not feel like they can do that right now. But if you can, that is amazing.
So good. What did her, do we know what they said?
I don't know. I think I'll need to find, I need to find that out. We might ask her to post about her experience of that on the Fat Chat community group, actually. So head over there and see what Lauren has to say.
Yeah, I mean, it can be really hard to acknowledge that it's difficult and to challenge. Like, what Lauren did, I think, took guts. And not everyone has that. It's okay if you don't feel you can challenge diet culture, diet talk that's happening in your office, to just kind of walk away, to just not get dragged in, to say you prefer to have another conversation. If you feel up for it, though, it's always good to challenge things like this. It's always good to change people's perception around just the casual way that diet talk's thrown in. Like, Lauren's won a challenge to try and lose the most weight because people might have gained weight during quarantine. Like, why? Why are you doing this to people? We've got a lot going on with this pandemic right now. Why are you throwing in that they need to be dissatisfied with another aspect of their life? It's just tiresome. So yeah, fair play to her. But you guys, if you're listening to this and it's something that's happening with you, just walk away from that conversation. That is okay as well.
You know, we love to bring you a self-care tip every week, and this week we wanted it to be work-related. And one of the things we think we all could do better at is making sure we have a distinct switching off time from work. I think with smartphones, or even prior to that, BlackBerries.
Ooh, oi, I love my BlackBerry.
Ditto for work. It was amazing. But like, the line between work and life has become so blurry, even more so during lockdown when many of us will be working from home. It can just be so hard to separate those two parts of your life. And I think the most important thing you can do for both your work and your life is be present wherever you are. So if you can find a way to know what your hours are, and then to just say, beyond this time, I won't be checking my emails. And by the same token, at work, I won't be dealing with my personal life. You can be present and more effective in both of those areas of your life. So yeah, that is our challenge for you guys going forward. Try not to let those lines blur too much. Try to really be present wherever you are, and don't bring your work home with you.
Amen.
So this week, as we are talking about jobs and offices, it would only be right for Rivki's fashion segment to reflect that. So Rivki, tell us what you've got for us in this special workplace episode.
I mean, I'm super lucky. Working in fashion, I've worn sequins at 9 a.m. and, you know, feathers.
Like, of course you have, babe, it's you.
So I've never really had a corporate job. I mean, they scare the shit out of me. The idea of having to wear something smart to the office, bleh. But if you do, but if you do,
we'll light a candle for you, and here's what we have to say.
If you do, it doesn't have to just be about suiting anymore. I think, you know, if we go back a decade or so, it would have been, you know, suits, skirt suits, trouser suits. But actually, you can create a really great smart capsule wardrobe of lovely, more tailored pieces without having to go for that suited and booted look. And I think a capsule wardrobe is basically your ideal sort of stomping ground. So kind of three pairs of trousers, two skirts, and then a mix of matches of like blouses, jumpers, sweaters and tops that you can put with them. And if you stick to a particular colour palette, then everything can be interchanged.
That's so smart.
It'll just make dressing so much easier in the morning, and you'll feel less stressed and you'll feel presented, because I think that is a huge thing in the workplace, especially if you're plus size, is making sure that you feel and look the part. Because, you know, first impressions, we all give them to people. And I think, you know, dressing for the job that you want and that you have is really important. I'm going to put some of my favorite capsule workwear looks and kind of create a little capsule wardrobe up over on our Instagram and Facebook at Fat Chat Pod, so you can see what I find. I'm going to find things of different budgets, so you don't have to spend loads. But I do think if you're going to be wearing these pieces every day, do think about investing in some really good key pieces, and also tailoring other pieces. So, you know, make friends with your local tailor so that you can get things that fit, because you will feel so much better if things look great. So yeah, make sure to check out my kind of workwear for every budget over on at Fat Chat Pod.
We know you guys love some tips, so we just thought we would put together a little list of some of the things that you need to remember to make living your squishy life at work just a little bit easier. Take it away, Riv.
Remember, people are aware you're bigger. You're not going to be able to hide that fact. But the one thing that they might not realize is how much that affects your life and how that affects your working environment. You don't have to be pretending. You don't have to pretend to be smaller for their convenience. Raise the issues you need to, because you deserve to have a working environment that works for you.
And remember to speak to whoever you need to speak to about getting what you need in your working environment. I mean, Hayley, you told us before that you were in an office where everyone around you seemed like they were always a bit too cold, so the aircon was never on strong enough for you, so you got a fan.
Yeah.
You went to who you need to speak to. You got a fan. Maybe that's what you need in your office. Maybe it's a bigger chair. Like, maybe you're a bit taller and you need allowances made for that. You know, we all have different bodies that need different things. Taller people need different things. Maybe the pregnant woman in your office needs something different. All bodies need different things. It is potentially going to be a little bit embarrassing to tell people that you need something different. You know, short, sharp bit of embarrassment rather than constant discomfort. That is what you need to put first. So don't be uncomfortable. You'll be less productive. Be comfortable, more productive. Get those things that make your working life easier.
Obviously, we've already said you need to get those outfits tailored and comfortable, but appropriate footwear is so important. George? Mm-hmm.
I used to wear the ugliest shoe versions of flip-flops at my waitressing job. But oh my God, they saved my feet. Ugly, didn't care. Feet were good by the end of the day.
And at the end of the day, like, comfort and being able to do your job properly is so important. So really think, my great-grandmother used to say, your feet are like your best little servants. Like, they serve you all the time. So you should be really nice to them.
And of course, it isn't fair that fat people are discriminated against in any area, and especially at work. You shouldn't have to compensate for this, but until, you know, we manage to get rid of all kinds of discrimination, you kind of do. So you sort of have to own that. So make sure that looking presentable, looking serious, looking appropriate for your job and for the job that you want is top of your list, because first impressions count.
Yeah, I mean, when I worked in the civil service, I had magenta hair. And so it was a really serious job. So I never did dress down Fridays. I didn't want people to mistake me for the intern. I dressed professionally.
Oh, honey, they never could.
I dressed professionally to offset my hair, which, again, it sounds unfair, but we can't get away from the fact that those first impressions can really matter.
And as we touched on earlier, if you feel you can challenge any conversation about weight loss or diet culture that makes you feel uncomfortable, then do. But obviously, if you can't, then just remove yourself from that. You can do that physically, walk away, or maybe you need to put headphones in or purposefully change the conversation. Just, you know, anything, any kind of talk that makes you uncomfortable around the office, you need to protect yourself from that.
Guys, allyship is so important. So be a champion for yourself and for others. You may work with people who are bigger than you, who are struggling with these things. If you can try and put your sort of your mind into what it might be like for them and think about how certain choices or situations or decisions might impact on bigger people, then you can speak up for them. That is so, so important. We know we've got a lot of slimmer listeners, and just being aware of those things, it makes a huge difference, feeling like you're not the only one arguing about this or challenging this point.
Exactly. And if you do see someone being bullied, or you yourself are experiencing bullying or harassment at work and a feeling that you're being discriminated against for whatever reason it may be, speak up. Don't accept it. It isn't acceptable. So whether that's you challenging someone else in the workplace and telling them they need to stop, or, you know, take it to HR, take it to a superior, take it to someone you trust, but it's not acceptable, and you have every right to challenge that kind of behavior at work.
Amen, Rivki. Mm. I think that's one of the most important points we've made today.
And remember, guys, we have that safe space, that Fat Chat community on Facebook, where we have had a lot of people, as we said, speaking about their workplace experiences in there. So maybe you don't feel like you can say things to your colleagues or people at work. Maybe you don't feel they'll understand. But our girls and us in the group, we understand. So come to us, vent, share, try and get some advice. Like, the Fat Chat community on Facebook is so good at, like, problem solving and helping people out and sharing experiences. So come over there. We want to see our squishy sisters in there, and we want you to know that it's a safe space that you can talk about. Every week we are going to be shouting out some brilliant accounts that we think you should be following, because the only diet you should be on is a social media diet. Yay. And this week we want to shout out an amazing, amazing friend of the pod, cheerleader. She has been an awesome support for all of us, and we just think she's a lovely account to have in your timeline. So this is at Lauren Dungy. Hope I'm saying it right, Lauren. I've never actually said your surname aloud, so you might be Dungy or Dungy, but we will be linking her, of course, on the socials. And she just posts a lovely blend of sort of lingerie, family life, but also she does do some workwear and like work appropriate outfits as well that are just gorgeous and amazing. So go and give her a follow. She is supportive, she's friendly, and she's a joy to have in your timeline.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us this week. If you are listening to us at work,
what are you doing? You're supposed to be working.
And if you'd like to hear a little bit more of us, you can always join Fat Chat over on the Patreon. We absolutely love hanging out with you guys there. It's such an awesome space. This has been a Secret Recordings podcast, and we have new episodes every Tuesday. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Fat Chat Pod, and remember to subscribe wherever you're listening. If you're on Apple, go ahead and hit that 5 stars and leave us a review. We have had a lovely review in this week. Tell us, Riv.
So this amazing review is from Heather, and we absolutely love it. She gave us 5 stars, obviously. Heather says, every Tuesday evening, I look forward to listening to the pod on my way back from work. I don't have many bigger bodied friends, and certainly don't know many people in real life who don't talk about diets. I feel so inspired and confident after my weekly listen. The only problem is the negative impact on my bank balance after all the excellent fashion tips. Thanks, Heather. Keep it up. You are amazing. And Heather, I promise to keep spending your money for you.
And thank you so much, Heather.
Thank you, Heather. That's all for this week.
See you next Tuesday.